Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Baywatch Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Mr. Span, and we are on episode number 3 of our little shindig. You know what I'm saying? Our little potty pod. You know? are you okay over there? You all right?
Oh God!
Yeah, man. Episode 3. We're here, and my wife's feeling really silly this morning. Is it still? No, it's afternoon now.
It's 3 o'clock.
It's fucking 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, my time is all off. I got off work early today. So, that's kind of how that works out. But yo, man, we saw a couple movies this weekend, man. And if you're looking at the title, what we saw, it was just all bad this weekend, man. We didn't find any home runs this week. But we do want to talk about some of the shit that we saw this week. Before we do that, though, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with us here at the Baywatch Podcast. Go ahead, let your voices be heard. Hit us up at that hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. We'll play them on the show. We'll respond to them right here. You can also hit us up on email at feedback@thebaywatchpod.com. That's feedback@thebaywatchpod.com. Leave those emails, and we will read those emails here live on the show, respond to you as well. Hit us up on Twitter. The name of the show on Twitter is what, baby?
Podcast Bay.
There you go. Go ahead and follow Podcast Bay. Chop it up with us throughout the week. Tell us what you want us to, as a matter of fact, I'm thinking, baby, should we do the poll of what the people want us to like review next?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, we'll put that poll up. I'll try to figure out like a list of names and put that on the website so you guys can vote on that. Tell us what you guys want us to see and what y'all want us to review for the next episode of the Baywatch Pod. But of course, if y'all don't, y'all we gonna review some shit anyway. But yeah.
The show goes on.
Yeah, but go ahead and do that, man. So I gotta put the poll up, right? But I want y'all to do that. And 5-star reviews on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Those get read here on the show, man. Hook us up with those 5-star reviews, man. It's one way to put down for the show. It don't cost you a dime, maybe 2 minutes of your time. And it helps the show grow, man. And it passes the word on to other people who may be interested in what we got going on over here at the Baywatch Podcast, man. But we went and saw, well, we saw one movie. We left the crib to go see one. And the other one, we tortured ourselves in our own home. This week we went to go see Night School with Kevin Hart and Tiffany Haddish. We also saw a film on Netflix, which apparently I was reading up earlier today, babe. You know, this movie actually went to the theaters, Till Death Do Us Part.
I was thinking it did when I saw all of like the I don't want to say famous, but more famous,
like Tay Diggs and.
Yeah, I was thinking, okay, did I cannot remember the husband's name. I can't remember his real name.
Let me look him up. I know I got to.
But he was in something, a couple things that I've seen recently. So I'm thinking like,
Michael was his name.
Yes, but like, I don't know what his real name was.
Oh, his real name is Stephen Bishop.
Okay, so he was in a couple other shows. A show that I watched, and I think I saw him in a movie. But he always is playing like either like the perfect husband or the crazy husband.
Well, he was in Battleship. He was in Safe House. He was in Moneyball. So he's got some credits underneath him. The Rundown. Fastest Man Alive. Singleholic.
All right, cool. I don't know any of those movies, but yeah, awesome.
Yeah, I didn't see any of these. I saw Safe House and that was about it. But we're going to start off with Night School, because we actually got our asses up out of the house and went to go see Night School, and we saw this in like, it wasn't IMAX, but it was something similar to IMAX. What do they call that? XD, Cinemark XD, or yeah. Some shit like that. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, those are the kind of, you go see like movies there, like, you know, Avengers and like Star Wars and shit. Like, you immerse yourself in those experiences. Yeah, man, they didn't have to put this movie on in the theater like that. They could have, you know, gave us a little 50-seat theater.
You know, I think that they did that, though, because it's like I don't want to say like a box office smash, because that makes me think of like
successful movies.
No, I'm just saying like it's a popular movie. Like the theater was full. Yeah. And I think that they did that because it's Kevin Hart and also Tiffany Haddish. Mm-hmm. But mainly because it was Kevin Hart, it's like one of those movies that a lot of people are going to see. I don't think that they, I think that they, that theater is just big and they don't have any choice. That's just like, if you go in that theater and you don't have the XD, it's like when you used to always tell me, like, why are you watching this TV and you don't have it on the HD channel? You used to always get so pissed at me, like, why do you have the TV on standard definition? I'm going away from you.
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, so that's why, I think that's why they had it in that theater. I think the XD situation is just what comes along with their big theater.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it was a lot of people in there, which is also... You know, sometimes when you go to the theater, sometimes the audience that you're watching the movie with too kind of contributes to your experience and seeing the film. And although I got some chuckles, yo, man, like it was a few folks up in there, man. They was getting, you know, like gut checks when it came to their laughter. It was like this older couple that was next to us.
They were not older.
No, they weren't?
No.
The man dude, seemed kind of old,
okay,
man.
The dude was like, first of all, dude was like 6'5",
yeah.
370 yeah. at the very least. Also, I don't know if you noticed, but I noticed very early on that he was carrying in the theater.
Was he?
Yeah.
See, man, I'd be worried about my license.
Yeah. Shit. And so then there was a moment in time, I don't know if you noticed, but he like, his weapon fell in between like the seat and the armrest. Wow. So then he had to like get up completely and it was a mess. But yeah, but he was getting the laugh of a lifetime. But they were not older because I saw them when you went to the bathroom, like I saw them like in the light and yeah. I was like, oh, I thought he was old as shit, but like, no. He was like our age.
He thought that movie was fucking hilarious. Yes.
He was getting his entire life.
Yeah, I mean there was a few, like I said, there was a few chuckles, you know, I got.
You laughed a lot.
I did.
But you're an easy laugh though.
I did. You know, I laughed a lot, but there was also just like it wasn't one of those, like, it's hard for me to explain. Like, I guess it's, like, I got some chuckles. I found some of it funny, but it wasn't, like, I just found it uproariously hilarious. You know what I mean? If that makes any sense.
Yeah, like, the part about it is that I found the ensemble funnier altogether than I found, like, Kevin Hart and Tiffany Haddish.
Yeah.
Like, no.
I didn't really find, I don't think that Tiffany Haddish's role in this film, the way that they had her portrayed in this film, was even meant to be funny. Like, almost like the straight man to Kevin Hart silly, you know, kind of thing.
I kind of thought that too, but I really enjoyed it because it allowed her to be mean. Mm-hmm. You know, and like, granted, I mean, she was mean, but like funny mean, and like the mean way that like we're all like, she was getting back at him with like the jokes and like, but I liked it. It just allowed her to be kind of not so like whitewashed, like, and not so like making fun of herself funny. Mm-hmm. Not so much of like a spectacle. It allowed her to be funny, but like in a realistic way. Mm-hmm. I liked that for her. Cause I was going into it like, yeah, I like Tiffany Haddish and Girls Trip. And like, I've seen some of her standups and like, I'll give it to her. The girl can tell a joke. She's pretty funny. But like, will I say like I'm a fan of her? Like how I loved like Samore and like Monique. Mm-hmm. No, she wasn't giving me funny like that. Like I wasn't into her like that. But I think it allowed her to do her comedy in a different way.
Yeah.
Like she still got some jokes off, and like I still laughed at a lot of her parts. Mm-hmm. But it allowed her to be more of like a real person, as opposed to like where I felt like Kevin Hart is always just Kevin Hart, like with a fucked up wig on or like in different little outfits or like, but like, you know, you're a grown man and you're 5'3", everyone's gonna make fun of it. There's right. always gonna be like the height jokes. You can just expect certain jokes from Kevin Hart. Mm-hmm. But I think he's always, at the end of the day, he's always Kevin Hart. But I think that role kind of, she was still Tiffany Haddish, but like now that we see so much of her in the public and especially on social media, like, you know that she's, like, pretty much a nice person. Like, she don't really fuck with nobody. But this mm-hmm. role, like, allowed her to be something different.
Yeah.
Because I feel like in Girls Trip, she was just, like, Tiffany Haddish with her friends.
Yeah, I can see that. Now, as far as, as far as Tiffany Haddish goes, though, I felt like a little bit, like, as far as, like, the humor that she was able to exhibit in this film, I kind of got like a Wanda Sykes kind of dry humor kind of vibe off of her from this film. Like,
yeah,
you could tell it was funny, and you know it was a different way of seeing her, but it was like that dry humor that I usually associate with someone like a Wanda Sykes or something.
She was, yeah, it was like how Wanda Sykes is in Black-ish. Mm-hmm. Where, like, the things that she's saying are funny, but she's not supposed to be the funny one in the movie. Like, she's not really carrying the comedy. But the things that she was saying, like, when she called this nigga strong, it's not nice to say midget, so I'm not gonna say that a lot. But when she called him that, or like, what is she, a strong leprechaun or something? Yeah. Like, now that was funny, but like, it wasn't like jokey funny. It was like, this is happening and it's funny.
Yeah. And like the way that they were kind of introduced, you know, where she's having a conversation with her mama about using a dildo with the pastor and, you know, him like kind of like ear hustling and shit and them having that back and forth.
But, yeah.
So we got like, as far as like the plot of this movie, essentially Kevin Hart plays this character named Teddy Walker, who apparently had like a learning disability as a youngster and wasn't really into school. And he figured out ways to kind of like bullshit his way through life without having the education behind him. He was able to just kind of, take his bullshit, you know, his bullshit skills. And what did he do? He went into a line of work that required a lot of bullshit. He became a salesman. He was selling barbecue grills, right? And the owner of this barbecue grill superstore decided that, like, yo, that Kevin was, or Teddy was, such a good salesman that when it's all said and done and he's ready to retire, he's gonna leave his store to Teddy, right? Now, all the while, Teddy has his highly successful girlfriend. I think she's maybe a lawyer or some sort of like sales exec or something like that. She makes really good money. She's established. She's pretty much established a life for herself, but he feels as if he's inadequate to be with her. So he's pretty much putting on the front. Like, he's got like a Porsche that he's somehow paying for. He's got like this condo that he's somehow paying for that he really can't afford. And he wants to marry this woman, right? But she knows nothing about the fact that this dude doesn't have a high school diploma, or the fact that, you know, he's just pretty much like fronting. He's faking it till he's making it, right? And he wants to marry her or whatnot. And they go to it was a restaurant or whatever to celebrate something. Maybe it was
she had like a new client and they were at the restaurant.
Yeah. I know he wanted to propose to her that night.
Yeah, but that was he wasn't going to propose to her at the restaurant. Right. They were like celebrating. It was the client's restaurant or whatever.
Now, she also has a friend who a lot of you guys may recognize as Molly from Insecure. Yvonne Orji plays Maya in this film. And, you know, she really doesn't like Teddy. You know, she's like the girlfriend and just like, I don't like this nigga. You know? And so they're at dinner and, you know, she offered, well, actually the chef offered to pay or comp their entire meal because he's a client of Teddy's girlfriend. What is her name in this film? Let me pull her up. Lisa. All right. So he wants to comp the meal for Lisa and you know, they're just like, nah, we can't allow. She's like, I can't allow him to do that as a client. He feels like if he does this for me, then I owe him something on the back end. And, you know, she's like, I'll pay for it. Now, with Teddy being a bit of, you know, he's faking it till he's making. He's like, oh, don't worry about it, baby. I got this. And she said, no, I'll take care of it. It's a business expense. Don't worry about it. And Maya finds this as an opportunity to, like, yo, kind of stick it to Teddy. Like, nah, let Teddy pay. He wants to pay. Go ahead, let him pay. And then he sees the bill. And that bill was like $864 motherfucking dollars.
Yeah, but there was like six of them.
Yeah.
Or, you know, there it wasn't like it was just a two-person or three-person. There was like six of them.
Well, yeah. But considering what his financial situation is, like getting a bill for $864 fucking dollars for a meal, like, yeah, that's a bit much. So, apparently, Teddy can't pay. He can't afford this shit. So, he's got to try to figure out a way to get out of paying for this meal. And he decides to plant his own pubic hair in some cheesecake. And, yeah, that becomes a thing. And the waiter accuses him of planting the pubic hair in the cheesecake because it was quote unquote, too many pubes. What'd you think about that shit, baby?
I didn't think it was that funny.
Yeah.
I just didn't. I think that, I don't know. Maybe I'm a Debbie Downer. That part just wasn't that funny to me.
Mm-hmm. It was like juvenile humor.
Not even that. It just like it went on for so long and that, I don't know. I just didn't care. I didn't think it was that funny.
Well, all right. we move on.
I mean, sorry.
We move on. He eventually gets to, they get back to the barbecue grill store that he's apparently about to become, you know, the sole owner of. And he proposes to Lisa at this place. And during their, you know, their moment, you know, they popped a cork on some champagne. And the cork just so happens to knock off a top or knock off a valve for a propane tank. Fills the whole place with propane. And boom, they blow up the place. He no longer is about to become the owner of this place. So now he's got to find him a new job. And his homeboy is like, yo, I can get you this job here at this financial, like, stock brokerish kind of, like, job or whatever, but I need you to get your GED. And this is how he sets it up to going to night school. And that's where we get introduced to Tiffany Haddish, as they're at the traffic stop on his way to the old high school he used to go to. And she's having that conversation with her mom and talking about the dildo and the pastor. And he goes to the school, finds out an old high school nemesis is the principal of the school now. Yeah, I feel like I don't want to do this blow by blow shit. I kind of feel like I don't want to do this blow by blow shit. Hey, check this out, man. So the nigga need to try to get his motherfucking GED. He don't want to do the work, man. He don't want to do the work. He don't want to, like, you know, take any of the tests, do any of the work. He's like, yo, I feel like, yo, you scratch my back, I scratch yours. Look out for me, what, you know, whatever. And Tiffany Haddish's character is named Carrie. She's pretty much a no-nonsense teacher who really fucking cares about what the hell is going on in her classroom. She really cares about the students. She really cares about, you know, people taking her class seriously, and her and Teddy don't hit it off well at all. And you get the sense off top that, yo, Carrie is about her business. Carrie is pretty much no nonsense. And this is where we get the, you know, she's the straight man to Kevin Hart's, you know, kind of goofy motherfucker. Because she's really just like, yeah, you gonna put in the work if you're gonna get anything up out of my class. I'm not just about to, you know, give you any grades. You're gonna earn every grade that you get out of my class. And we're introduced also to his classmates. Now, interestingly enough, I did think that some of his classmates were fucking hilarious. Like, yeah. What was that? My man, Romany Malco played Jalen, who was the hotep in the class.
Yeah.
He was fucking funny.
I knew you were going to find him funny.
Yeah, he was fucking funny. Like, and I think it was a lot of, like, the delivery and a lot of his shit. Like, he does that really well. There was also, what's this lady's name, who was like she was the married mom.
Teresa. I thought she was hilarious.
Teresa turned up, man.
Teresa was giving me life. I really thought she was hilarious. Also, I don't know why, I just liked Mackenzie too. Like the dad, Big Mac.
Oh yeah, Big Mac.
Cause he was so dumb.
But I mean, that kind of played into the trope.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Of the big, burly, dumb motherfucker that don't really know what he's doing.
I just noticed so many. I noticed so many more details about, like, his character, because a lot of his comedy was, like, not verbal comedy, but like
physical comedy.
He was more like his sweatshirt, that yellow sweatshirt. It said "College Educated Movers." Like, that's the company that he works for. But, like, he's in the GED class. Like, I just, his facial expressions, like, the part where he fell and they tried to do that jump from, like, roof to roof and he just fell. I'm like, what? Like, he was just, God, him and Teresa were my favorite.
Yeah, I thought that Jalen was, like, him and, ironically, I want to say Fat Joe, But Fat Joe's, like, his character was a bit limited, too, though. Like, he only had the little role where he's sitting in front of the camera and he's reading, you know, stories to the kids and whatnot. She's like, I got the kids babysitted at the... It was a whole little thing. But, here's the deal with fucking Night School, man. Because, like I said, I don't... This blow-by-blow is going to take forever. And I don't... I really, like, the movie wasn't that good. However, there was the overarching theme of this film seemed to be like everyone deserves a second chance. And it kind of came off as like some after school special kind of shit to a large degree. Like it was blatantly obvious. It was blatantly obvious that, yeah, of course he's going to get his GED in the end of, by the end of this film. And of course, everybody in this film is going to end up graduating just barely, maybe even. But, you know, it's the hijinks and shit like that along the way. I'm going to tell y'all this, man. Real talk, I kind of wish I just had waited for this shit to come out on, like, Netflix.
And do we, you?
Yeah. Like, why? If I had to give these, like, some stars, I'd probably give it one.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I mean, I chuckled. I got some chuckles out of it, but I feel like I could have waited for this shit to come out on Netflix and maybe check it out when, you know, that way. As far as, you know, going to the movie and spending all that money on popcorn and shit.
You don't have to always spend that much money on popcorn.
I know.
You just
I know.
Choose to do that. There were some points of this movie where I kind of was just like, okay, what the hell? Because, okay, like, when they were at the prom and then, like, there was some synchronized dancing, like, all the people knew the same dance and then it cut into, like, Soul Train Line and I was like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, that budget that they spent on, like, the synchronized dancing, they could have spent that on Kevin Hart's braided lace front because that wig was Tyler Perry atrocious. That was awful. I don't know where they got that. They must have called Tyler Perry and said, hey, can we borrow one of the wigs? You be having Shamar Moore in your movies? And they said, okay. And they gave it to him because that shit was awful.
Baby going in on the hair. But
there were just some things that I was just like, what the fuck? Why was that pertinent to the story?
Yeah.
Like when Kevin Hart and Tiffany Haddish was dancing at the end, they kind of had that like weird moment. And she was like, I'm gay. Did we need that? Like... Well, I don't care, like, and not to say there's completely nothing at all. I'm not against her being gay or whatever, but I feel like that tidbit had no other, like, there was nothing else in the film, really, to me that would have made me, that I needed to know that.
Well, at that particular moment when she announced that to him... He was under the impression that she was trying to get at him.
Yeah, and they should have took that time for... She should have lit his ass up. She should have been roasting the shit out of him. Well, man, and gave it, like, a more funny moment. But, like, to just kind of flatten it out by her being like, oh, I don't like you because I'm gay. No, I don't like you because you fucking 5'2 ass little leprechaun. Like, she could have... That could have been, like, a funny moment. But they just kind of, like, flattened it by, like... Oh no, I can't like you. I'm gay. I'm your teacher. Not that any of this, but.
Well, remember there was a point where they were like one of the disorders that he supposedly had was that he has a hard time processing information. So the whole thing was her telling him she's gay and he's still not getting it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think that's where the joke was, that he's still not processed. So she had to keep reiterating to him that she was gay. And there were like kind of little inklings of it in the film, like the part where he goes home after like coming from school or whatever, his girlfriend's in the house and she's in her lingerie or whatever in the bed, and like Tiffany Haddish's face is kind of superimposed, like looking at her booty and shit. There was that. Then there was the other part where Jalen was talking about his wife or whatever, and she said she knows his wife and his wife got like a fat ass or whatever. So it was like they were dropping subtle hints throughout the film that she may be attracted to women. But, you know, you didn't really know until she just came out with the announcement that I'm gay. And then he's still not processing it because of the learning disability that he had.
I mean, that was just one of those things that was just kind of like a minor detail that we didn't really need.
Yeah.
To me. Like, that was like an extra to the story that time or whatever that they used to try to convey those little, like, hints of that could have been used for something else. Because, like, We didn't ever see her in a relationship. We didn't really ever see her outside of the classroom or outside of, like, a learning situation except for when we were first introduced to her. So, like, did we really need that? No, like, we just didn't, you know? I could see if they were like, okay, like, she has, like, a whole girlfriend, a whole situation outside of the classroom. And it was, like, though that kind of was, like, used to, like, move the plot along. But to me, like, it just had nothing to do with anything. Like,
well, I just saw that as an opportunity for her to kind of like shut him down. Like, look, nigga, I don't like you. I'm gay. Like, and that's pretty much what that was. So, what do you get this film, baby? How did you feel about it overall? Like, in the end?
I mean, I would give it like a 1.5 or 2. Like, I thought it was one of those things that, like, we don't often experience, like, going to the theater and it's, like, full. I think the last time we went to, like, a movie and it was, like, super full was, like, Black Panther. When we went. Or was it Infinity War? Like, but most of the time if we go to the movies, we just don't really ever have the experience of going to the movie when it's, like, a full theater. There's people laughing and, like, you know, like, you're kind of surrounded by people, which I could go either way on that experience. Mm-hmm. I think probably if I think probably, like, in my 20s, going to see this movie on, like, a little date or whatever. Like, it's a cute little, like, oh, let's go to the movies, babe, type of movie. Like, but is it, like, one of those movies that, like, that shit was funny, I'm about to go buy that? Like, no. No. I don't think it was bad. I feel like it did drag on. It felt a little bit long, but I don't think I wasn't, like, pissed off that we went to go see it, you know?
I wasn't pissed, but at the same time, like, when I say I give it 1 star, I'm just saying that, like, yo, this is definitely one of those movies where I didn't have to go to the theater to see it.
No, it was not a must see. And I think if we were not doing this show, I don't think we would have, either one of us would have went to go see it.
Yeah, I wouldn't really.
I think we, you know, like, if on a normal basis, that's not really like the thing that we would have gone to see. But the thing I would have guessed that you would have gone to see that because you like, comedy and like funny stuff like that, like, yeah, you're an easy laugh. I'm more of like, he will give like a full chuckle, like a full chuckle, and here I am like Kawhi Leonard.
not the cry laugh with the,
like, with the awful laugh trying to just fit in with everybody else. So I thought that you would have liked it more.
Nah, I mean, that I just felt like, you know, we could have waited for that to come out on, like, Netflix, and it has still been okay, but we didn't have to go to the theater to see that. But we did, and that was our review. Night School. Yeah. But we did go see another movie. Well, actually,
we didn't go.
We watched this from the comfort of our own homes. We saw this movie brought to you by Chris Stokes and Marcus Houston. Till Death Do Us Part. On Netflix. And like I said, I was looking up the IMDb on this film, and I did not know that this movie came out, as a matter of fact, a year ago yesterday. It was at the theaters. It grossed $2 million at the box office at the theater. So I'm trying to find out which one of you six rich motherfuckers went to go see this movie and donated $2 million.
Now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
With Drea having, like, the tiniest of tiny parts in the movie.
Yeah.
For some reason, Drea always pops up on, like, my Snapchat. So I always see her stories. And I remember her, like, I'm on set, like, in hair and makeup, like, this, that, and the other. But I was thinking it was for that movie that she's in with, like, Lil Mama and, like...
She's in the movie with Lil Mama?
Yeah, there's like a strip club situation.
Really?
I can't recall. I'll have to put a pin in that. But like, I was thinking it was for that. But obviously, she was talking about two different things because it had to have been for this movie too. So, and she had said like it's coming out in theaters. But I just never... It must not have been like heavily...
the promotion
budget. Promoted, because I would have remembered. But also, I found it strange that... The male lead, well, I guess it's not strange, but the male lead in the movie is way more well-known than the female. Or I had no idea who she was. I'd never seen her, and I thought she was fucking terrible. So there's that. But I don't know if that's why I'd miss out on the promotion, because I think, like, you know, women, we're going to see the movie because either, like, there's a sexy, like, a movie like that, like, there's a sexy dude we want to see, or like the woman is someone like that draws in our attention, like how that, what was it with whatchamacallit, and Michael Ealy was in it. I can't recall. Sanaa Lathan, and he was hiding under the bed.
Ah, should I forget the name of that film?
But that movie was like, you know, something kind of similar. Yeah. But like, those people were drawing certain people in. Like, a guy's going to go see that movie like, oh, Sanaa's in there. Like, she's sexy as shit. And like, all the ladies were like, homeboy with those gray eyes. Like, yeah, I don't care if he's crazy. I'm going to see that shit. Mm-hmm. Like, this movie tried to do that, but like, couldn't afford maybe who they really wanted or something.
I mean, they got some decent people. I mean, they pulled Taye Diggs.
They were in the Rolodex on like C-list or who ain't got shit else
they
to
got,
do.
Malik Yoba up in this joint.
What the fuck did Malik Yoba have to do? I mean, nothing. Sit around and be fluffy.
I'm just saying, baby. I mean, it was definitely a straight to DVD film. You know what I'm saying? Like, the fact that they said that this was in theaters and it grossed $2 million at the box office.
I can believe that it was in theaters because I can see someone going to, like, Star Fairlane with their kids trying to go see this. Like,
with the kids, though?
Yes. You know people like taking their kids to inappropriate movies.
This is true.
Didn't you go see some inappropriate movies when you were a kid?
I mean, I saw all the inappropriate movies when I was a kid. I was going to all the R-rated movies. When I was a kid.
See?
It's a fucking savage, babe.
I know.
But,
Young Savage fan.
No, but so, this movie, is basically about a newlywed couple, Michael and, what was it?
Madison.
Michael and Madison. And apparently they're really, very well off. Michael is, they don't really exactly say what Michael does, just that he's some sort of executive of some sort. And Madison is his wife. They've been married for a year, and we meet them around their first year anniversary. And, he comes across as like a really put together dude who's very in love with his wife, wants to do everything for her, wants to give her the world and all of these things. And she's very much in love with him, but she desperately wants a child. And Michael, for reasons that they never really quite say, doesn't want a child. I know they kept alluding to the fact that his parents.
It's because he's afraid he's gonna pass on like whatever is wrong with him, like his mental disorder or whatever. He's gonna pass it on to his child. He doesn't want his child to go through what he went through with, like, I guess his dad killed his mom. Mm. So he doesn't want his child to go through that, and he knows he had some kind of mental issues that he was going through.
Did.
So he didn't want to pass that on to his child.
Right. So he doesn't want to have a kid, but he doesn't necessarily explain why he doesn't to his wife. And his wife desperately wants to have a kid. So at some point, they go to, what happened where he just like slaps her down, man?
I can't even remember. I cannot recall.
Like, they were coming from someplace, and I think she may have told him she was pregnant or something.
No. It was it the party? They went to that party, and he was like, I saw you.
No,
because that was the second time. No. I don't remember what happened the first time.
I think she told him that she was pregnant.
No! She came up to him and was like, The testosterone. He'd been taking the testosterone.
Ah, yeah.
He was taking the testosterone. She found it, and like she was sitting in the dark.
Yeah, because he came home.
Like,
okay.
Hello, Michael.
Okay. So check this out. Okay, so now it's all coming back together to me now.
We're not going to play by play this.
We're not going to play by play this, but apparently, like, she wanted this baby. He didn't really want to have a baby. So what he was doing was he was taking testosterone shots. I didn't know that testosterone shots would keep you from being able to produce a kid. Like, I didn't know that. I don't know what science they use.
I don't know if
one.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm just like, but he didn't want to have a kid.
I know in women, that's something that, like, that's something that would work or whatever. Like, people, you know, people who are trans and stuff.
Yeah.
That's why, but.
Yeah, I don't know the science on that, and I'm pretty sure Marcus Houston probably didn't know the science on that either when he wrote that shit.
Oh, Batman.
But, he was coming home because apparently I guess he did really want to talk to her about why he didn't want to have a kid, But before he could say so, because he was like, you know, we need to talk. Before he could say so, she's like, yeah, we do need to talk.
She was loose. She was live.
Yeah. And he was like, wait, excuse me? You know, because he had never really seen her in, you know, that way before. Mm-hmm. And apparently she hadn't seen this motherfucker in this way before either, because he instantly became like full on, you gonna do what the fuck I say do, because I pay all the bills and I provide everything and I am the husband and you are to, you know, like kind of worship me and everything else. So when she confronted him with the fact that he was taking this testosterone, yo, he smacked this woman down, smacked her down, and then, you know, kind of talked to her as if like she was his child or his possession, and that, you know, this should never happen again. I'm the man of this house. I will not be disrespected in my house. You know, kind of the kind of old school shit you used to hear back in the day. But she doesn't leave. And she basically just kind of becomes really submissive around him because she's scared of what he's going to do next. So the next time we see them, they get ready to go to a party for his work. And she was, you know, socializing with a lot of people around his work and, you know, whatnot. And, you know, they come back home from that party and he's jealous of the conversations that she was having with one of his colleagues at the party. And he rapes his wife in the hallway. And then she gets pregnant. She gets pregnant and she tells her best friend about it. And her best friend is like, girl, why ain't you as happy as I want, you know, as I am about you being pregnant? Which is also another thing, too. Like, there was another trope in this film, like when they had the anniversary party, the first year anniversary party. And she was like, girl, you got a good man, this, that, and the other. But you got to watch these good dudes, girl, because there's always something wrong with them.
There is.
And what's wrong with them?
I don't know. You want to talk about certain someone named Reginald?
We don't know Reginald around here. Right? We do not know Reginald around here.
That's Mr. Span's other personality.
I don't know what she's talking about.
The true Gemini about to leap out.
I don't know what she's talking about, man.
But anyway.
Views expressed by Mrs. Span right now are those of her own.
Go ahead. Anyway. I mean, yeah. I thought you were going to say like the trope of like the hating ass best friend.
No, I'm just saying, I don't call it like, the thing of it is, like, there's always that friend that don't like your dude in all of these movies. Like, it's always that. And yeah. So it was just, you know, the one thing, as soon as she, you know, if everything is going good for this one friend, or it appears that everything is going good for this one friend, there's always that one friend character where, like, girl, this is just some bullshit. You know, you need to really check this dude out. Like, she's been married to this guy for a year. And it was, you know, just that whole, it's a trope at this point. Like, yeah, it's something wrong with him. He too perfect. It's something wrong with him. So that's, you know, I don't, you know, necessarily care so much about her being a hating ass friend. It's just like, I'm used to seeing that in these films. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, she gets pregnant and, it becomes a bit of a blur, man, because, you know, he's abusive still while she's pregnant. She gets a job with her friend at this hospital, and I guess it's a way to like kind of stay away from home.
It's just like a way, 'cause
she wasn't supposed to be working. Like, she had quit her job previously, so she could be a full-time wife, apparently, you know, according to him.
Whew. Full-time.
But she became a nurse's aide or like a nursing assistant of some sort.
Yeah.
She was working at the hospital. She was being, you know, she's still being abused by this dude, and she decides that, like, yo, I gotta try to figure out a way to get away. Mm-hmm. And her friend figure out a roundabout way to fake her damn death.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, in theory, it was a good idea.
Yeah.
It was, now, yeah, in theory, it was a good idea. But they, like, it's like they pulled the trigger, but they pulled it halfway. So, like, the gun went off, but, like, the bullet kind of just fell out.
Yeah.
Because, like,
it was a dry fire,
guys. Yeah, like, the way that it should have been, she shouldn't have taken the insurance money. She should have just left and started over and did what she had to do. Mm-hmm. Because that's a paper trail right there.
But that's not even what got her caught up.
Well, I know that. But then she left and went 3 hours away. let some shit like this happen. I'm in fucking Tahiti or something. You ain't never gonna see my ass again. Like, I am out of there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, she could have went to Idaho. She could have just went somewhere completely else.
Yeah.
But instead, you're like 3 hours away. Cause like her friend was still like driving down to see her. Like, mm-hmm. she could still drive up there when her dad was in the hospital. Like, she wasn't far away enough. But I mean, no, that's not the thing that got her caught was like the whole thing with like the hospital and her paycheck and stuff. And that also was quite funny to me because if you call my job right now, they're going to be like, yes, she has you listed as her husband, but nigga, we ain't giving you no info.
Well, that was the thing though, right? So he thinks she's dead.
Yeah.
He's like late, you know, spreading ashes out by the river and stuff. He's thinking about killing himself and all these things. He's thinking she's dead because apparently right after a fight that they had, she left the house and she was going over to her best friend. Was it Allison? No, that wasn't her name.
Chelsea.
She's going over her best friend Chelsea's house. She's going to stay with Chelsea. He gets upset. They have a fight. She, you know, she gets away from him. She drives away. And another movie trope, instead of looking in the rearview mirror to see if this motherfucker is following her, she then turned her ass all the way around and look out that back mirror, and then, of course, she runs into a car.
But that's not really what happened.
What do you mean?
Yes, she was looking back or whatever, but the car accident was staged. Like, that was part of... The car accident... There was, like, a little tidbit where you kind of saw... when they kind of flash back to when they were paying the dude and stuff. And then when she like put the makeup on and stuff to look as if, Chelsea gave her some kind of medicine that she injected in her thigh to make her pass out. And then she woke up in the hospital room, but the accident was staged.
Huh. Like, I didn't catch that part.
Yeah. The accident, it happened, but she knew it was going to happen. Like, I don't know how they didn't really give detail. I mean, cause that would've, they didn't really give details.
They had
like
details. A little bit of a montage of how they did it later on in the movie.
Yeah, but they didn't give details on how they staged the accident, but she wasn't really hurt in the accident. That's why like she was still pregnant, like she was perfectly fine.
Right.
But like Chelsea gave her something to put, she injected it in herself, made her pass out. Like first she put on like blood makeup or something. She did something to make it look as though, you know, she was
fucked up.
But she really, nothing was wrong with her. Okay. So that whole part was staged.
Okay. So, and even the doctor that they paid to tell her husband.
Yeah, he
that,
wasn't even
you know,
a
he
real.
He wasn't able to save her and all these other things. Yeah. Now, a couple things wrong with that. One, you have to be, like when he asked him, did he want to see the body? You have to be absolutely fucking sure that this dude, like, no, I don't want to see my wife's body. No, I don't want to identify her and all these things. Like, or no, I don't want to like handle any of the funeral arrangements for my wife who just passed away. Like, I don't want to handle any of that. I'm gonna pass that off into her.
I mean,
I think we're
supposed to leave that he was just that devastated because I cannot sit here and say that if something happened and they, you know, they say, did you want to go see his like mangled body? No, not unless I really have to.
Hmm.
And I've heard a lot of people that things like that have happened. They had someone else identify the body because they just didn't want to see the person like that. Now, doing the whole funeral arrangements and stuff, like, I'm doing that. Okay. I'm doing that. Like, I got to make sure shit is together.
Ben's
going
to be playing Down for My Niggas at my funeral, y'all.
No, I'm going to play, Do You Wanna Ride?
Oh, shit.
No. But, I'm going to do all that, but I think we're supposed to believe that because he was, you know, a psychopath, that he was just that devastated and just like would be the kind of person who would not, do all that shit.
Well, yeah, there's something about the script that I just didn't believe it. So, I mean, it just was, man. It was like, look, the whole little saint thing all over again. Damn, where was I at?
Who knows?
Okay, so
they were in the hospital, accident, the death, blah, blah, blah.
So they faked the death, and like she moves to a town maybe
3 hours away,
3 hours away, and like she gets this insurance money,
the plan was thought out because she made her friend or whatever the beneficiary on the life insurance, which
Well, another thing too, this is like me not being able to suspend real world shit. Like, you get this insurance policy maybe a few months before.
No, she had it. She changed her to her friend.
Okay.
To the beneficiary.
Okay.
Maybe. But he wasn't going to be a suspect because it wasn't like he took the insurance policy out on her. That would have made it like suspect. Like,
well,
no, but she took the insurance policy out on herself.
Well, and that's the thing that that's kind of what I'm like kind of getting at is that, like, you know, she's like, well, we're going to take this insurance policy out, or maybe she had the insurance policy already. And I'm going to make my best friend the beneficiary. How far along from the time you switch the beneficiaries up to the time you are supposedly expired and there not be an investigation from the insurance company to figure out, like, okay, what are we doing before we start paying this money out? You know, like, as if that was some sort of a scam.
I think it was probably because it was a, I could see why that the insurance company wouldn't investigate, because it wasn't like, she had a mysterious illness or she was murdered or something like that. It was because it was an accident. And then, like, the whole thing, like, the husband wasn't, I think it was something to do with because, like, the husband wasn't a suspect
But the other hole in this is that, like, she was not declared dead. Like, she checked out of the fucking hospital.
Oh, yeah, like. So, like, I don't understand why they should have, and it wasn't like she really checked out. She like snuck out, sis, you could have waited till he left. You sneak out and your best friend's still standing there crying and he's still standing there crying. You sneak out like and nobody notices you. Girl, I would have been there till like the next day and then like had my girl sneak me out. But right. I don't understand how she got checked out because she didn't. She snuck out.
She snuck out of that motherfucker.
You know what I'm saying? But your friend couldn't, like, finagle the death records or do nothing? Like, yeah, shit.
It was some rudiment.
You gotta button that shit up.
Some fucking Keystone Cops ass shit. So she sneaks out. She gets this, excuse me. She gets this insurance policy or whatever. And she's living off of this insurance money. She's got herself a little job at this diner called, that Mike's Diner. Or whatever.
What a coincidence.
Where she meets Drea's character. Drea is like her co-worker. Her name's Amanda in the film.
Great. You only know this because you have IMDb open right now.
Yes, that's the only reason I know this. But so she's working at this diner and she buys this house. And then I'm also thinking, like, yeah, damn, how much is that insurance policy worth, man? Because that house
that
house looked like it was worth at least $300,000-$400,000.
Do you want to say? I'll say.
In California, probably $500,000.
I mean, I have life insurance.
On who?
On myself.
Okay. Is this something we need to discuss off mic, baby?
No, but I mean, it's a large sum that you wouldn't get, but that's beside the point.
Interestingly enough, I do too.
I mean, I have large, you know, so, I mean, life insurance, you know, it's not like one of those things where, like, you're actually, I don't really know how that works, but I mean, it's a large sum. I mean, most life insurance situations is like a large, pretty large lump sum.
Well,
especially if, like, you know, not that I have like some booming ass job or whatever, but mine was from, you know, years ago when I got it, that I just continued to maintain it.
Okay. Well, I guess the point that I was making was, like, you know, not only did she get the life insurance, but it was enough for where she could go out and buy herself another home and basically start over, create a new life for herself.
But then still work at that job.
But then still work at the diner.
Which is dumb. Like, you 3 hours away, you at a diner off the highway. Like, if you got money, then just stay the fuck home with your life insurance money.
Yeah, that's one way to do it.
In your house.
Now, another interesting thing that was kind of like telegraphed earlier on in the film was that his friend, what was Malik Yoba. Yeah, Malik Yoba. What was his name in this fucking film?
Rob.
It was Rob.
Mm.
You are on it, babe. Now, Rob, apparently, is some sort of private detective. You know, he's got like a private detective sort of security agency that he's got going on, and he's friends with Michael, right? So what ends up happening is Madison's job at the hospital.
Yeah.
Well, like, I guess HR calls To say that she never picked up her paycheck. Which is a fucking another plot hole.
From my job that when people don't have direct deposit and they get a paycheck, the paychecks come in an envelope that it's already addressed to them. They just come to our job. If they don't come get the check, we mail it to the address.
Yeah. Well, the thing that I thought was interesting, though, was the fact that, like, yo, she didn't come pick up this check. Like,
and at the hospital where she supposedly died at.
Right. Not only that. Now, mind you, the job that she had at the hospital was supposed to be a secret.
Yes.
So why would she put down his name as an emergency contact for or any sort of contact if she didn't want this
dude
knowing?
She should have put her friend down. She didn't want this dude knowing
that she worked at the hospital. So the hospital shouldn't have been calling this dude anyway about this check. Like,
and then the lady from the hospital should not have been volunteering all this information. Like,
oh yeah, she used to work for us from like 2005, 2007.
Like, she shouldn't have been volunteering all these tidbits.
Yeah.
Which I feel like, okay, then they kind of redeemed themselves with the lady at the, in the unit on the desk was like, can I see your ID? Like, to get the files and stuff. Like, she wouldn't give him the medical file. She's like, I'll be glad to fax it over to the doctor's office. Like, she wasn't giving him that shit.
Yeah.
But like, homegirl over here like, it looks like she checked in at this time, checked out at that time, blah, 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 blah. Hospitals don't do that shit because of situations like this. Like, there could be abuse or whatever else. Like, even your fucking doctor's office, like, you have to sign a thing. Like, they ask you, like, is it okay if we leave a voicemail on your phone? If what are the conditions you have to be in which, like, we give information to another family member? I think just recently I put that they could tell you some shit if I'm sick, because I'm like, nah, you could tell my mama, you could tell my cousin that shit. Like, you ain't telling him none of my business. But, like, you have to, there's so many, like, HIPAA violations and shit you have to go through for that. Like, you can't just call up and be like, and what time did she check out, this, that, and the other, just for shit like this. Like, come on.
My feelings hurt.
Why?
You ain't want a nigga to know.
Child.
Nah, real talk, they just gave us like some emergency contact slips at the job too. Like, we don't know how to get in touch with your wife or your loved ones if anything should happen to you.
Who was your emergency contact before?
Lena.
I mean, nigga, like, 4 hours later when she can finally pull up.
I'm just saying. Like,
you know what I'm saying? Because Lena will be there, but shit, four hours later.
I'm just saying.
On the road, like, from Chicago.
I don't have family in Michigan. Like, all my family is out of the state. Like, outside of you and your parents and my brother, everybody else, ain't nobody here in Michigan no more. They're like, man, fuck this shit. We out. So, that's pretty much what it was.
True.
So, yeah, man. So, this is what gives Michael the inkling that Madison may be alive. And so he enlists his homeboy Rob to get on it, like, find her. And of course, Rob finds her.
Duh.
Rob finds her. Now, mind you, all the while, Madison, she was pregnant when she left, right? And she gets to this new house and she gets the new job and, like, this is where Tate Diggs' character comes in. Him and his daughter live next door, and they're very friendly. And he, you know, they sort of become like love interest, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend. He's doing all of the things father would do with a woman who's about to have his kid. Only that's not his, it's not his child. He's at Lamaze class. He's, you know, they're playing around in her front yard. Like, you get to sit, like, it was as if there was more time passed than there had been. You know what I mean? Like, the way that they that connection supposedly grew in that short amount of time where they were so connected and she trusted him so much to do these things with her and for her. You get that sort of sense of, you know, yeah, this dude is gonna step in. He's gonna be the father to this kid. He's gonna be, you know, the husband, you know, going forward and everything else. What did you think about that, like, relationship between those two?
I just don't know. I mean, I think there are people that, there probably are men that, you know, kind of like out of the kindness of their own heart, like, I guess there's niggas out here that like pregnant girls, you know, or whatever. And that, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, like, I know they're my baby, but, like, whatever. You know what I'm saying? They really like a person. I just can't really put myself in those shoes because I'm not a dude and I don't like pregnant ladies. So, I don't know how, I don't know what, I just don't know how realistic that is. Like, I guess I'm sure, you know, it happens sometimes.
Yeah.
I just don't know. I mean, I thought, Tay did, like, what a cornball. Like, he was, he was pretty corny. Got his ass beat in the hand, like.
Yeah, man, old boy was tossing his ass around like a rag doll.
I understood why they had to do it. Like, she had to have someone there. Like, there had to be someone for her to interact with, like, in her new life or whatever. But, like, she was pregnant. So, like, the kind of limitations, like, he was, like, into her. Like, I want to be your man, but, like, here you are carrying someone else's baby. And not even, like, I could see if she was, like, oh, like, the baby daddy is dead. Then, like, okay, like, carry on. Be, like, the new daddy. But, like, she told your ass, like, she just left this nigga because he was abusive or whatever. Like, so this nigga is still around.
Right.
Like, that's somebody else's baby. And, like, by law, like, that nigga can visit the baby and be with the baby and stuff like that. Like, you can't just step in and be like, this is my baby now. Mm-hmm. Like, what the fuck is going on?
Right.
I mean, I don't know. Are niggas really into pregnant girls like that?
Nah, I don't know any.
I've just never.
I don't know any. I'm not saying that there isn't. I just, you know, I think that's sort of unorthodox.
And she was, it wasn't like she was like a little bit pregnant or like she, as time went on.
She was visibly pregnant.
She was visibly pregnant. And like from day one, he was visibly into her. Like he was like, oh. But like she like had her, like she opened the door belly first. Like she was, it wasn't like, you know, it was nothing to hide or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, they kind of like took it slow and stuff, but he was into her.
Did they take it slow though?
I mean, yes.
Considering the amount of time. I mean, cause it looked like
she was 4 months pregnant when they met.
Was she just 4 months?
She was 4 months pregnant when they met. So then 5 months later, okay. This is in the time span of 5 months.
Okay.
So it's not like, you know, she was 4 months pregnant.
Okay. I thought it was more like along the lines of like maybe she was 6 months pregnant. No. Like, and he's like, fuck this shit, man. She fine.
No.
But, yeah. So like she develops this relationship with her next door neighbor and his daughter, and Michael pretty much tracks her down. And this is after she's had the baby. Well, she has
the day she has that whole situation.
Yeah.
Really bothered me. The day she has the baby, or maybe 2 days after, I don't know if she stayed in, it didn't really imply that she stayed in the hospital, but didn't imply that she left like the same day. So
I think she might have stayed a day.
Okay, the day after she has a baby,
yeah,
and she's running around and doing this, that, and the other, and, like, you know, it was definitely implied that the baby came out of her vagina. So, I have never had a baby, but I am pretty sure that you are not hop, skipping, and jumping around and, you know, popping all around your house doing this, that, and the other. Like, I feel like you need to rest.
Did she do that, though? Like, I mean,
she took a shower.
Okay.
That's it.
So what do you mean by hop, skipping,
like,
and jumping?
She was like, okay, like, dude, like, the next door neighbor dude was like, oh, yeah, come over, this, that, and the other. Like, bring the baby, blah, 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 bloop. We're going to have a picnic on the floor. Like, I just had a baby. Like, don't you have to put cream down there or something? Like, you got to do something. You can't just be out and about. Like, the baby is fresh and brand new and you want to bring it around your little kid and stuff. Like, no, that's not realistic. That's not how things go. And then, like, they tussling or whatever. Like, I feel like if I just had a baby, that's the time that someone could beat my ass. Because I just had a fucking baby. Shit.
Well, yeah. So, Michael finally, like, tracks her down. Sees the baby, you know, like, he's, And it was weird too how they kept using that Isley Brothers song as like, you know, to,
that as was a their reminder. Song.
Well, was it their song or was it just a song like, that nigga just liked playing?
That was like
eventually she got to a point where like that song just reminded her of how scared she would be when she was around that dude.
That was like it just reminded her of like their relationship and him and whatever else.
Yeah. So he
like if something happened between us, I'm never gonna play no like Big Crit or no nobody. I ain't playing none of that shit. It's gonna remind me of you. Playing no Rick Ross, no Crit. None of that shit getting no type of airtime in my fucking house. Shit.
They swear to them all. They like, nigga, no Crit in this house. Not never, not ever. That nigga used to listen to that shit. I'm not listening to that shit. No.
Hell nah.
Yeah. Good thing that's not gonna happen. So they, you know, of course we get to the like the final showdown, right? And, you know, Michael finds her and he's like, you know, you made me believe you was dead. And, you know, no man will never make you feel as safe as I make you feel. Which was ironic as all hell because she don't feel safe around this nigga. Matter of fact, she feels like the most unsafe she ever is when she's around this dude. Let's see. Well, Taye Diggs' character. What was this dude's name? Alex. Comes over. And he's like, yo, man, you're supposed to be coming over to the, you know, to the little picnic in the living room. You know, what's happening? And she's like trying to, you know, get this nigga to go home because, you know, Michael didn't threaten to kill him. And he picks up on what she's throwing down. And, you know, the fight ensues between Alex and Michael. And Michael commits to beat, like, whooping his ass and tossing him all over the place. And it leads to Madison, you know, finally standing up for herself and stabbing this nigga up and then shooting him and he falls perfectly out of the front door.
So stupid.
Yeah.
Like, just so stupid. I can't even That whole scene, like, I cackled a little bit that, like, Taye Diggs was getting that ass whooped. But, like, other than that, didn't he get his ass whooped on, what was that, The Best Man?
Yeah, more Chestnut whooped that ass.
Yeah, so, I mean, but then, just, okay, so she shoots him, and the door is perfectly open, he's perfectly in the door, he falls perfectly flat on his back and dies. It's just like, really?
It was almost like a Jason killing.
Yeah, it was like a...
Like when someone thinks Jason's dead, but he's really not dead. It was that kind of fall where like Jason goes down, but you're like, is that nigga really dead though?
Yeah.
And then somebody goes over to like maybe kicks him or something to try to figure it out. And then Jason grabbed their leg and then...
Yeah.
And, you know, that whole thing. Yeah. Ratings, babe. What you got on this one?
0.5.
Ooh. You got to give it at least one.
No, I don't. I'm going to have to do anything but stay black and die. Shut up.
Come on, baby. It's a 4-star system now. Come on now.
0.5.
Jeez. I gave it a 1-star, too.
I didn't give it a 1-star. I gave it a 0.5.
I'm saying 2 as in, like, I gave this 1-star just like I gave, Night School. I gave that 1-star as well. These shits were just all bad this week, man.
Okay, but I do want to say something. Like, while we are joking and talking shit about this movie, like, it is serious. It's about domestic violence, domestic abuse, and stuff like that. And so, you know, we're definitely not trying to, like, make fun of that or make light of that. Like, if definitely you are not going through something serious like that, you can call the National Domestic Violence Hotline. There's lots of different resources. You can call our hotline. We will try to help you out. We will do whatever we can to help you out. If you're experiencing anything that even feels like abuse, please, like, reach out, get help, save yourself and protect yourself. We are definitely not making fun of anyone who is going through this or has gone through this.
Absolutely.
I've gone through this before, and I definitely would never make fun or make light of the situation. We're just talking about, like, this specific movie and
it's
this
terrible
portrayal of that. So, yeah, I just want to make that clear.
Yeah. Good job, babe.
Thanks.
All right. So, this has been episode 3 of the Baywatch podcast. And, of course, I'm going to remind you guys. how to get in touch with us. They'll be in the show notes, but I got to remind y'all, because it's kind of what I do. Hit us up on the hotline, area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. We'll play them on the show, respond in kind. Also, on this particular episode on the website, I'm going to leave a poll up. We want to know what you guys want us to review next.
Oh, you're going to leave a poll up?
Yeah, I got to put a poll up so that... Yeah. I got a poll up for you, baby.
All right. Sorry, Mom and Dad, if you're listening.
Oh, shit. Sorry. Sorry. Yeah, but I'm going to put a poll up for you guys to, you know, kind of vote on what you guys want us to review next. So we're going to do that. Also, hit us up on iTunes and or Stitcher with those 5-star reviews, man. We really do appreciate everybody who goes about the business of doing that. It's one way to help spread the word about the Baywatch podcast. We really do appreciate that. Go to the Spareport Podcast Network store and get yourself a Baywatch t-shirt or hoodie. It's kind of like hoodie season right now. So go ahead and wrap yourself up in the warmth of the spans right now, man. It's kind of good. You know what I'm saying? For you, go do that. I like those hoodies, man. I do. Been wearing hoodies all week this week, man. So, yeah, y'all go ahead and do that. And that's it. We will talk to y'all next week. Till next time, fam. Peace.
Bye.